Hi. Good morning. I am super happy to see you guys. I'm happy to be with you. I miss that. I missed worshiping with you, and I feel really blessed to be here and to do what Ben said, just to praise God and honor God for who he is, who we are in him, and do it with you. I feel blessed. Especially today, Father's Day. You know, I have a son, I have a daughter who really loves me. I'm thankful. I have a son who tells horrible lies about me to hundreds of people. And so, if you don't have a son lying about you in public, you should be thankful today, fathers. At Home Church, we believe that God wants all of us to experience his kingdom. Yeah? Fully. Someday. When Jesus comes back and restores everything and makes all things new again. But God also wants us to experience his kingdom here and now. In the time between the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of us. And this time we call the already and the not yet. And Mike talked a lot about this while I was gone. God's kingdom is here now. And it's still coming in an even more full and amazing way. And when his kingdom is fully come, there'll be no more sickness. No more crying. No more separation or death. No more pain or fear or frustration. And our world will become a world of absolute thriving. Of absolute flourishing and purpose and joy and peace and love. And the model of Jesus and the instruction of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, is not just to tell us how that we can be part of that kingdom someday. It's also intended to teach us how we can experience and how we can share samples of that kingdom purpose and joy and peace and love here and now. Amen? Amen? Okay, so how many of you are parents? So if you got a lot. So if you've got a kid, whether they're, I don't know, 2 or 18, have you ever given your kids instructions and they act like you're trying to ruin their lives? Yeah, so it's, you know, no, Johnny, you can't have the car this weekend. You're 7. And what's his response? What are you talking about? You hate me? How can you be so cruel to me? No, I'm sorry, honey. We are not going to eat beaver nuggets for breakfast every day until scientists figure out what they are. And what's their response going to be? Why? 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 Why do you hate me? Why are you so mean? Why are you so cruel? Even as they get older. You know, honey, you got that big math test tomorrow. Maybe it'd be a good idea to shut off the games for a little while and study for a minute. And their response is, oh, you're such a fascist. You know, why are you so mean? You're so cruel. You're a dictator. You say, no, you can't have TikTok. You're 4 years old. Right? No, you can't date. You're 12 and he's 22. It's not going to happen. And what do they say? You never let me have any fun. Right, you hate me, you're not fair. What? Why do you hate me? Like, why are you so mean? And really, it's not their fault. You know, they're just kids. And they don't know what they don't know. They can't know what they don't know. But as a parent, you know what's good for them. You know what's best for them. You know what leads to life and joy and peace and purpose and thriving. So your rules, your instructions are not for your good. They're for your kids' good. And I think some people think that God's instructions are intended to just suck all the fun and all the joy out of our lives because he's just so mean. He is just so cruel. But that's the opposite of the truth. The truth is God is a loving, perfect Father. And every instruction that he gives us is for us. It's not for him. God gets paid the same one way or another, right? It's for our good. It's for our interest. It's for our thriving. It's for our flourishing. In fact, in John 15:11, Jesus said, that the specific purpose of his instruction is so that we can live lives that overflow with joy. That's what he wants for us from the tree of life in Genesis to this morning in Comal County. God's way leads to joy. It leads to purpose and passion and love and life. And I love this term, human flourishing. And the trick is, Isaiah 55:8 tells us that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So just like with our kids, we don't always understand why he instructs us like he does. And since we don't know what we don't know, and since God does, it shouldn't surprise us that some of his instructions don't make sense to us any more than not eating beaver nuggets for breakfast makes sense to a kid, right? Some of his instructions make sense. To me, I like Proverbs 24 says, eat honey because it tastes good. I get it, right? That's an instruction. I see the cause and effect. I see the value of doing what he does. It makes sense to me. One of the Ten Commandments is that we should take a Sabbath every week, that we should disconnect and just rest and refresh and just delight in God. I look at that commandment, that makes sense to me. Yeah, that, of course that leads to human flourishing. Of course that's in my best interest. Proverbs 5:18 is a blessing of enjoyable physical relationships with your spouse. And you know what? That sounds right to me. You know, I see the value. I see the good in that instruction. I see how that's working for my benefit and for my flourishing. But you know what's a weird instruction? You know what's an instruction in the Bible that doesn't make sense to me? All through the Bible, we're instructed to forgive people when they wrong us. And see, I don't care for that one. I don't. My preference when somebody does me wrong is, you know, I like to get mad at them. And then I like to stay mad at them for as long as possible. I like to hold a grudge. And during that grudge-holding time, I have a couple of hobbies, you know, things that I like to do to pass the time. It's really fun to think about bad things that might happen to them. Oh, man, what if they got hit by a bus, you know? Oh, just if they could have diarrhea forever, that would be so awesome, right? And also, it's super fun to tell other people how bad they treated me. That is just such a great way to pass the time. Or you can post mean stuff about them online. That's a really great thing to do. But I guess my favorite hobby when somebody hurts me is to rehearse what they did to me and to just replay it in my mind over and over. And just think about, like, you know what I should have done? You ever do that? You know what I should have said? I should have said this. Man, when they did that to me, I should have done that, man. I should have punched them right in the liver, you know. That would have been awesome. And like at night, when I can't sleep, I love to just rehash what they did to me and what I should have done. And that's my way, but apparently that's not God's way. Because between direct instruction and parables and just the life of Jesus, something like 70 times in the Bible, it tells us that when people wrong us, instead of talking about them, instead of rehashing what they did, instead of thinking about what I should have done, instead of, you know, praying for diarrhea or punching them in the liver, the Bible tells us that when people really hurt us, to forgive. Weird, huh? I mean, for me, it goes against the grain for me. But apparently, who'd have thunk it? God knows something that maybe I need to learn. And that is that forgiving people who hurt me not only might bless them, but somehow it leads to me thriving and me flourishing and me experiencing peace and joy and freedom of his kingdom. So for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about forgiving. And there are lots of great resources, lots of great amazing books about the topic, obviously the Bible. But two of my favorite others are actually by the same author. I've got pictures of them here. The one on the left is called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts We Don't Deserve. And the second one is one of my favorites. It's called The Art of Forgiving, When You Need to Forgive, But You Don't Know How. And they're both written by a guy named Lewis Smedes. And I'll tell you up front, a lot of what I'm going to teach in this series, I learned from Lewis Smedes. So, who's up for something weird? You know, leave you people alone for a month and everything falls apart. Look, when I say who's up for something weird, your response is you enthusiastically raise your hand and, yeah, buddy, bring it on. So let's just try it again. Who's up for something weird? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's my people right there. So I got a book. This is the book that you should have. You should want this book. And so I'm going to give you a hard challenge. We're going to play 15 seconds of music. And during that time, you're going to think of a song, secular song, Christian song, that includes the words or word forgiving, forgiveness, forgive, or something like that. And anybody that can get it right, first hand that I see go up, I'll give one of these books. You ready? 15 seconds. Cue the music. Forgive. Forgiveness. Jay, you know every song. What? Not one person. Not one. You know one? Okay, stop the music. What is your name, Allie? Allie? What is the song?
It's Holy Forever. We just sing it.
Holy Forever. Okay, if you'll stand up and just sing a little bit of it real fast. You don't got to stand up. I'll give you the book. I'll give you the book. This is Allie. She's the one person. Don Henley. Forgive. Even if you don't love me anymore. You don't know that song. We used to sing that song, Your Forgiveness. It's like, sweet, sweet honey. Hey, we used to sing that song every week. What's wrong with you people? It's early, yeah. Coffee hasn't kicked in just yet. In this world, people hurting us is inevitable. This Lewis Smedes has a great expression. He says, pain comes with being a human, like skin comes with being a tomato. I mean, if you're honest, in your life, how many of you have, in your past, had somebody that just really hurt you? They hit you, they betrayed you, they lied to you, they lied about you, they cheated on you, they neglected you, they excluded you. How many of you have experienced something like that at some point in your life? That's almost everybody. In fact, if you didn't raise your hand just now, you probably just didn't understand the question. Because the truth is, if you've lived long enough to know what I'm talking about, it's pretty likely that somebody has hurt you. And I'm going to illustrate that for you with a fancy new tool that Ben got for me. And so let's put that up on the screen, Paul. And so this is going to be, hold on. This is Ben, our media director. He just invented this thing, so give him a second. Do you know any good songs, Ben? There it is. There it is. Okay, now you're looking at what I'm looking at here, so that's pretty cool, right? So if this circle represents all of humanity, wait a sec. Oh, come on. Oh, wait. My pen's not turned on. That's my bad. That's not all. You know what? Boo Ben, just because. Okay, so if this circle represents all of humanity, then the people who have been hurt by somebody else is like, it's almost everybody, right? Almost everybody has been hurt by somebody. And those people are experiencing real pain, right? Almost all of us have been hurt by somebody else, and we've experienced, because of that, real pain. And within this set of people who have experienced real pain, which is basically everybody in this room, there is a certain set of people who are still hurting. Yeah? But there's another set of people that were hurt, but somehow they've managed to stop hurting. They were hurt, but they're not hurting anymore. Instead, now they're beginning healing. And these people are now experiencing joy and purpose and healing and life of God's kingdom. So by being hurt by other people, it's like that's going to happen. That is inevitable in this broken world. But in this all-inclusive set of people who have been hurt by others, there are two subsets of people. People that are still hurting and people who have started healing. And for a lot of people in that pink subset, in the first group of people, that old hurt, it's like they, like a long time ago, they stepped on a piece of broken glass and it never came out. And it hurt like crazy that day. And it has hurt like crazy every day since. And somehow, the people on the other side, the people on the green side, have figured out a way to stop the pain. They figured out a way to take away from the person who hurt them the power to keep on hurting them. And Lewis Smead says, and I think he's right, the only way to remove that glass, the only way to stop that pain, the only way to take away that power, the only way to start healing is with a biblical surgical procedure called forgiveness. And as soon as I say it, I know a lot of people are thinking like, yeah, well, I don't want to forgive. How about that? After what they did to me, I'm just going to let them off the hook. You know, why would I say it's okay? It's not okay. I don't want to just give them a license to just keep on hurting me. I want justice. You know, they deserve punishment or karma or that diarrhea forever thing or something, right? But I think a lot of that is just us not understanding what forgiveness really is. And I think a whole lot of us have accepted kind of a like a knockoff, like a counterfeit of forgiveness. Because we've come to think that forgiveness means forgetting what they did to us, or that it means excusing what they did for us or to us. It means, some people think it means minimizing what they did to us, like pretending it doesn't matter. Or they think it means pretending that it didn't hurt. And one of the worst things is that some people think forgiveness means tolerating. That it means like putting up with people hurting us and just automatically assuming that we have to reconcile and stay with them. But I want to tell you that is counterfeit forgiveness. That is a knockoff. That is not true forgiveness. Real forgiveness is not about letting people get away with stuff. It's not about acting like it's okay. It's not about automatically assuming that we're going to reconcile. Hear this. Forgiveness is not the same as tolerating at all. So imagine a small woman, and she's married to a great big man, but he's not just big, he's mean, and he's violent, and he drinks too much. And when he drinks, which is all the time, he gets mean, and he belittles her, and he calls her names. He pushes her down. He hits her. And for 10 years, she's been on this cycle with him of him getting drunk and put her in the hospital, and now she's out of the hospital. And she goes to her pastor, and she goes, look, I'm out of the hospital, but where do I go from here? And the pastor says to her, well, the thing is, you're a Christian. And Jesus said we have to forgive 70 times 7. So as a Christian, what you have to do is you have to go back to him. And the first thing she needs to do is punch that pastor in the liver. Right? Now, the first thing she needs to understand and what that pastor needs to learn is what forgiveness really is. It is not just sucking it up and living with people that continually hurt us. It is not tolerating or excusing or minimizing or pretending that you're not hurt or pretending that you're not angry. So here's going to be a key verse in all of this. Ephesians 4:31. This is Paul. He's telling people how to live in God's kingdom. Here's what he says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, he says, replace all of that bad stuff with being kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just like God through Christ has forgiven you. Paul, in this passage, doesn't say, pretend that your bitterness and rage and anger and old hurt don't exist. He's not saying pretend those things didn't happen. He's not saying pretend that those things don't exist right now. He's saying we need to deal with them. He's not suggesting that we minimize the wrong. He's not suggesting that we say it's okay. He's offering us a way to deal with it. He's offering us a way to get rid of it. And the way he's offering is forgiveness. Forgiveness is not me ignoring or accepting or tolerating the pain that you caused me. Forgiveness is me allowing God to remove that broken glass and heal that wound so that it no longer causes me pain and so that it no longer runs my life. Forgiveness is me saying, look, this thing you did to me was really wrong and it really hurt me. But it has hurt me enough, and I'm ready to be done with it. So in The Art of Forgiving, Smeeds describes real forgiveness as three really hard steps on this journey to freedom from old hurts and from the people that cause them. The first step is we rediscover the humanity of the person that hurt us. Obviously, the best example of forgiveness is Jesus. And on the cross, as you know, he prayed for people while they were torturing him to death. Look what he says. This is Luke 23, 34. He prays, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. It's important to see this. He's not excusing their behavior. He's not pretending it doesn't hurt. He's not pretending that they aren't doing something horrible and cruel, but he sees in them more than their cruelty. He recognizes their blindness. He recognizes their ignorance. And he sees those people as being separate from the thing that they're doing. He sees them for what they really are: broken, flawed, messed up, completely wrong human beings made in God's image. And that's hard for us, because when somebody hurts us, we tend to dehumanize them, right? Maybe you've heard somebody say this, you don't know what he did to me. He's nothing but a liar. He's nothing but a liar. She is just a cheater. That's all she is. She's just a cheater. And what they're doing is they're literally shrinking this person down, right? They're literally reducing this human being to being nothing more than their worst, ugliest parts. And forgiveness begins when we stop seeing someone as just the one that hurt me and remember that they are a fellow human being created in God's image, broken, sinful, just like we are. In Romans 3:23, Paul says, everybody's sin, right? We've all fallen short of this standard that God has for us. And I want to be clear, recognizing that we're also broken and sinful, it doesn't minimize the offense. It doesn't make it okay. But it does remind us that we stand on level ground with God, with this person that hurt us. His grace is offered to us, and it's offered to the person that hurt us. So forgiveness might begin when we stop asking what kind of monster would do this and start asking what kind of sinful, wounded, broken person would do this. That's how Jesus viewed people. Not as liars and betrayers and torturers and murderers, but as messed up, mixed up, broken human beings. And if you decide you want to move towards forgiveness, it starts with rediscovering the humanity of the person that hurt us. I told you they were hard steps. Second step, we surrender our right to get even. Yeah, it's a hard one. They're all hard. In Romans 12:19, Paul says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God." And again, he's not saying justice shouldn't be done at all. He's not saying justice doesn't matter. He's saying trust that God will take care of it. That was Jesus' attitude. 1 Peter 2:23, it says Jesus didn't retaliate when he was insulted. And he didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. Why? He left his case in the hands of God. And forgiveness is not about giving up on justice. It's about entrusting justice to God. And if you think about it, we know this. Typically, humans don't handle revenge or retribution very well, right? From kids saying, what do they always say? He started it, right? He started it. He called me a name, so I hit him with a rock. She looked at me funny, so I poked her in the eye, right? From kids saying, he hit me first, all the way up to governments responding to airstrikes with airstrikes, right? And we got to defend ourselves. I know it's an evil world full of evil people. We have to protect ourselves. But most of the time, when humans try to even the score, it just escalates into chaos. And we love to like justify it. We love to rationalize it. Yeah, but I'm right. Yeah, but they're wrong. We love to, this is righteous indignation, right? This is a holy war. I'm entitled to my revenge. I'm entitled to my revenge. It's just, it's fair, it's right. She hurt me. She should hurt just as bad as I did. And if retribution were on a scale, on one end of the scale is childish behavior, which just says, he hit me first, and therefore anything I do is justified. And on the other end of that scale would be Christ-like behavior, which is to say, if we're going to flourish, peace has to start somewhere. It might as well start with me. God's kingdom, this place we want so badly, this place of flourishing and thriving, it is defined by peace. Jesus isn't called the Prince of Revenge. Right? He's called the Prince of Peace. And Jeremiah and Isaiah, all these prophecies about God's kingdom talk about things like lions laying down with lambs. What do you think that means? It says that someday we'll take our swords and recycle them into plows. We're not even going to need weapons anymore. That's in God's coming kingdom. It's a place of absolute peace. One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite authors, N.T. Wright, says, "The calling of the church is to be a miniature working model of that kingdom." This is really important. What Paul doesn't say here. He doesn't say justice doesn't matter. What he says is that vengeance belongs to God and not us. It's not about letting go of the hope for justice. It's about trusting God to be just. Forgiveness isn't about declaring somebody innocent. It's resigning from the position of judge and turning the case over to God. The third step of forgiveness. Do you think this is going to be easy? Yeah. They just get worse, man. It just gets harder. The third one. We revise our feelings about the person we forgive. So we recognize, we rediscover our view of them as being human. We surrender our right to revenge. And then this third powerful last step is we revise our feelings about the person that we're forgiving. And this is probably going to be the longest stage. And you know, forgiveness might begin as like a one-time decision, but God reshapes our emotional response towards the person that hurt us over time. So again, this is a kingdom issue. In Matthew 5, Jesus is describing the kingdom and how his inhabitants should act and everything. And he says, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. pray for people who persecute you. And it's really hard, man. Love your enemies. It is really hard. It's really hard to really pray for somebody who's really wronged you without God really changing your heart towards them. So I think the act of choosing to forgive is like just the beginning of us allowing God to change us by changing our hearts towards people. And it's allowing His Spirit to live through us, honestly, and empower us to do something that we probably could never do on our own. Look at that verse again, Ephesians 4:32, we talked about earlier. Look what it says. It says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, like God through Christ forgave you. And I think this is a really interesting like progression. It's almost like we start with just acting kindly, right? Just do something, just a physical thing, acting kindly, and then it like works its way into us until it really becomes a heart issue. And God empowers us to forgive. And ultimately, God empowers us to forgive just like He forgives us. And He revises our feelings about the person that we're forgiving. And again, this is a slow process, man. You're probably not going to go from hoping they get hit by a bus to, you know, giving them a big hug like overnight. Or maybe ever. We say we're revising your feelings about them. It may not go that far. Maybe your revision about your feelings is not that you pray that they win the lottery every day. Maybe you just stop praying about the diarrhea thing. You know, just like baby steps, right? This, but even that's a hard step. But it's an important step in this journey to becoming free from their control and the pain that they caused you. Again, remember, forgiveness is not ignoring. It's not accepting. It's not tolerating the pain they caused you. It's not necessarily reconciling with them. Forgiveness is allowing God to remove that broken glass and heal that wound so that it no longer hurts you, so that it no longer controls your life. It's saying, this thing you did to me was really wrong, and it really hurt me, but it's hurt me enough, and I'm ready to be done with it. And I don't want to make this sound like overly simple, because it's not. And I don't want to make it sound like it's super easy to do, because it's not. You know, if somebody has really hurt you, forgiveness is hard. And it doesn't happen overnight. But God calls us to forgive so that we can thrive, so that we can flourish in His kingdom, in the here and in the now. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at why we forgive and who we forgive and eventually how we forgive. But for today, I just want us to make sure we understand what forgiveness really is. And then maybe decide, like, if this is your win, if it's time for you to forgive an old hurt. So I got a quick checklist of questions to help you decide if you're ready to begin this journey towards freedom through forgiveness. You can just ask yourself these questions. Here's the first question. Has somebody caused you real pain in your past? Second question, is that pain still hurting you, slowing you down, affecting your flourishing, wasting your time? Number three, are you ready to be free from that pain? Number four, are you ready to trust God's way to flourishing and joy so much that you follow His map to get there? Number five, are you ready to begin what might be a difficult journey towards a future unshackled to a painful past that you can't undo? Number six, are you ready for God to redeem that past and reclaim that past and reshape it and somehow even use it for His glory and for your freedom and your peace and your joy? And if you answer all those with a no, then I would say come to church anyway and keep sermon notes, because eventually you're going to need them, because eventually somebody is going to hurt you. And if your answer is yes, then maybe you're ready to begin the journey to surgically remove that broken piece of glass from your broken past. And it's quick, and it's not easy, but it's God's way. And it's the way that leads to flourishing in joy and love and life. So we're going to take our time. We're going to take this thing on like an ant eats an elephant, right? Lots of small bites. So for this week, first small bite, first initial step is going to be just whatever the thing is, whoever the person is, stop trying to fake forget what happened or like act like it wasn't a big deal. This week, this thing, we got to identify it before we can forgive it, right? So this week, just give yourself permission to call the wrong what it was. Wrong and painful and unfair and inexcusable. Not something to accept, not something to put up with, not something to just tolerate or blow off. It's something that needs to be dealt with. So you can start dealing with it and get on with the amazing life that God's calling you to in his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this kingdom of yours that's coming here, a place where there is nothing to forgive, where there is no pain, and there's no betrayal, there's no divorce or cancer or death or separation, there's no fear, there's no frustration or anger. God, thank you for your coming kingdom. Jesus, thank you. You've made a way for us to become part of that kingdom. Thank you for teaching us how to live there. Thank you for modeling for us how to live there. Holy Spirit, help us. We want to live like Jesus. We see that following him is the way to experience this kingdom. Following his teaching, following his model, including forgiving, and it's just really hard for us. So I'm just asking you to help us to forgive, not just for that person that we're forgiving, but so that we can experience this amazing kingdom that God has for us here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.